do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, and today's guest host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Moore. I'm here with Ray Zinn. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you doing there, Paul?
Ray and I worked together for years at Micrel Semiconductor. I was the director of technology research and development, and Ray was the CEO. We interfaced a whole bunch. Although I wasn't a direct report, we built a great relationship, and we talked about great things. Today, we want to talk about new blood. What's it like, the good and the bad, in bringing in a new person to the organization? This can be disruptive, and it can be very helpful all at the same time. Ray, can you think of a new blood that you found disruptive? And not necessarily name the person, but what was disruptive about that new blood?
Well, anytime you bring a new person into a company, that's going to be a change. So they're going to bring with them all of the good and the bad that they had at their other company, because your company won't necessarily be exactly like theirs. Their culture will be a little different. Maybe, for example, maybe they don't do a dress down Fridays, or maybe you do, and they didn't. Maybe they had flexible hours, coming in late in the morning and leaving late at night, or vice versa. So whenever you bring somebody in new, you have to make sure there's some alignment in the culture of the company, I think more so than anything else. I remember I had one individual who pasted up these nude photos of women in his cubicle, and it was offensive to some of the women in the organization. And we say, well, you can't do that. That's not allowed here. And he said, well, why not? It's my cubicle. And I said, I understand, but it's not yours in the sense of the word. It belongs to the company. And, you know, we have policy against posting nude photos. And so he was so upset with it, he left the company. So there was a difference there that causes a problem. He's a very talented individual. So refer to those people as dysfunctional functional people. So functional people are those that get a lot done and accomplish a lot, do their job. Dysfunctional means they have difficulty getting along with other people. And their way or the highway kind of mentality. And they, as they say, one rotten apple spoils a barrel. And with a dysfunctional employee, they may be very functional in what they can do as far as their work product, but they're very disruptive because they're dysfunctional in the way they interface with others. It's like a dysfunctional family type thing. And we all know what dysfunctional families are. So, make sure when you bring in someone new that they are culturally aligned with the culture of your organization.
Yeah, and I think for the most part in Micrel, things were very clear about the expectations of the culture. So it's actually really surprising to hear you say that somebody would try to pull that maneuver. So be it, that was him. I was at Micrel for a long time. And one would think, well, you don't see a lot of new people. But as I sat still, I saw a lot of people go by. And a very common behavior when somebody would join the organization is they would refer to their other company. And I noticed that would build a lot of resentment in the people that were residing a long time in the company this person had joined. So it to the point of not really listening to good ideas. So you and I talked about being those guide rails in helping people communicate. How did you soften your folks to be receptive to really good ideas that came from outside?
Well, good is always good. So, you know, we welcome creative and good ideas as long as they're not disruptive. And I talked a second ago about being dysfunctional. So the biggest problem we have in company organizations is the cross-pollination between organizations. That's called intra-departmental relationships. That's where I saw most of the problems because people build silos and they won't allow people into their silo or into their bailiwick, and that caused difficulty. When I saw these barriers build up, then you know they wouldn't cooperate or communicate well between organizations, and this was very disruptive, and so that took a lot of effort to break down those silos, those barriers between departments.
One of the methods I did to soften my people is, you know, maybe see that there's a resistance to accepting this good idea because it was not invented here, so to speak. I would talk to them and just one-on-one and say, hey, what do you think about that idea? And okay, that was a rhetorical question on my part. I wasn't really thirsting for what their idea was because it was very clear to me that they didn't like the idea, but I liked it. And what I wanted to do is by asking them, starting the conversation, that I would lead to me telling that person that was resistant to the new outsider idea, all of the positive attributes. And hopefully by showing leadership in accepting that idea and picking out the positives, they would follow. And they often would. And it wouldn't be much of a battle.
Looking for the good or listening for the good is what's key to that. I was talking with an individual yesterday, and he was in a meeting with me, and he said, "Well, how did you like the meeting today?" And I said, "Well, I thought there were some good points made," and he said, "Well, I didn't like it," and so what he was doing is he was looking for the negative, and I was trying to enjoy the meeting, and so I was looking for the positive. There's always negatives that are going to crop up where people are going to have some resistance and some disharmony with regard to the subject that's being communicated. But if you look for the good, if you try to find the positive in it, then of course you can benefit. There's always going to be some negativity in anything or conversations that we have. So the best way to minimize anxiety and arguments and disharmony is just to look for the good. That's been my mantra, is to try to find the good in that what came out of that meeting.
Another area where new blood that I found helpful is when you have silos in conflict, bringing in a consultant that is not biased and isn't aware of the silo, who's in the silo, what the barrier to the silos speaking to each other. They can offer an opinion that everybody views as objective. Did you ever use consultants to loosen up those silo barriers?
Well, if we were having a difficult time in a particular area where we weren't making progress, we would bring in consultants to help us. You know that because you've had some that you brought in to help in different technical issues. So what I found is that they would often use my name saying, "Well, Ray wouldn't allow that," or "Ray wouldn't buy it. Well, he won't agree to that." And so they were using me to shut down the communication, which I found interesting because I never said those things that's not something I would have done or said, but they want to use me as the gun, as you would, to shut down that particular idea. So I had to be careful about that, because when you bring a consultant in, especially, they don't necessarily, they're not part of the organization, and they're looked at as outsiders, which they are, but they're looked at as more of a threat than anything else.
So overall, would you consider consultants something, a tool that you would go to, or is it you would like to cultivate all of your expertise in house?
Oh no, come on! You can have consultants. I mean, they perform a necessary function, is because you don't hold all the expertise, and sometimes you need to bring in somebody from the outside that has that expertise that will help you get through a particular area. Maybe you don't need them full time, and that's why you just have them for a period of time. But certainly they do add value where they have that expertise.
So there you have it for beginning entrepreneurs. It's real handy, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't think in a new company, everybody's going to be the expert in everything. Maybe in accounting or and even in marketing. They may have to bring somebody from the outside.
Yeah, it's a way to keep their head count low and get through a subject and thank the consultant for the time they spent with them.
Exactly.
Okay, so overall, new blood can be a little disruptive if the onboarding, so to speak, isn't handled properly, and it can be very helpful at other times.
Well, you know, so, again, if you're going to use consultants, make sure that they understand that the consultant is there to help and not necessarily to disrupt the organization. Because as soon as they get the employees get the sense that the consultant is brought in to find out what's wrong, then there's barriers put up. But if you say, well, no, we're not trying to find what's wrong, we're just trying to add to what we're doing, enhance what we have, they're more receptive.
Well, that's a really good point. You do get that initial fear. And whether it's a consultant or just a new hire, there's a fear that, all right, this person is here to take me out. It's not to
or to embarrass me or to, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Those are all natural reactions that I've seen. I'm not happy to say that I've had those reactions in myself. And you just have to, you know, rise above your
biases.
Yeah, your biases, those kind of feelings, and use your higher brain power to say, hey, look, this person is going to add something good. And I think if we all relax and think positive, like you said before, see the good in the consultant, that consultants, new blood, they can all be very helpful to the organization. So it's up to us as leaders to calm our troops, as you just outlined.
Yep. Well, thanks, Paul. It's been a good conversation on new blood.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.